What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. This is Resistance in Residence, where we profile artists using their gifts to change the world. This week's feature is Tiny, aka Poverty Scholar, formerly Houseless, Pope, poet, artist, playwright, screenwriter, and cultural worker, and my sister in struggle. What's happening, Tiny?
Hey, family. Appreciate you. And so honored to be in a space at this moment of colonial terror.
It is a moment of colonial terror. And Tiny, you fight on so many different fronts. I just want to check in on how are you maintaining in this moment?
I'm definitely not well. I'm in constant fear for my relatives, for my community, and for all relatives dealing with this violence, right, from Palestine to Turtle Island. And I'm trying to be sane and focused, but as someone who's dealt with trauma my whole life, I feel like we're in a nonstop state of trigger and terror. So I commend all of my fellow warriors on the front line. I think that's the only place we can be.
It is. It is the only place we can be. Those of us who said yes to this calling, right? It wasn't a choice. It's a calling. Tiny, I want to start with some of your history. I know some of it. But where you grew up, how your mama, let's start there.
So I always say, do you see us houseless mamas and daughters sleeping in these tents? That's because we don't got money for the lie of rent. I'm a poverty scholar, that houseless mama, that houseless daughter. All those people they don't want to see, never want to be, look away from we. What you going to do, Oakland, Berkeley, Frisco, L.A., arrest we? We're in your city. I'm a poet, and I do poetry to survive, I guess I would say, because I can't live through this lie of capitalism. But me and Ma were on the street starting when I was 11. Mama was an Afro-Boricua ghetto scholar from the streets of North Philly. I never really understood Mama until I went to North Philly and got where she was and who she was. She was a G on the realest way, who had just made it by any means, like so many of us poor and houseless mamas do. When I was 11, she lost her job that she got off of welfare. And for her, it was one more little murder of the soul, as she said. And she wasn't able to keep on keeping on. And we ended up on the street, which didn't end. It actually continues, as it does for a lot of poor families. Once you're in that loop, you can't get out. When I was 12, we dealt with a violent sweep in the Kmart parking lot in L.A., and I was separated from Mom, ended up in foster care, and she was arrested. And really what she was arrested for was trying to grab the baby pictures that she had of me. And I never really tripped off that until recently in watching and experiencing and living with our relatives, dealing with these violent sweeps that have gotten worse on these colonial streets. But moving out of there, at 18, I was incarcerated for what I call crimes of poverty. I did 3 months in county, Santa Rita, for the act of being houseless. Again, I want to lift up on stolen indigenous streets. I also want to thank the First Nations relatives, Ohlone LeSean Nation of this land, and all the relatives who might be listening, because this colonial terror did not just start with houseless people or indigenous people from the other side of the false border. Already had been put in place, as we know, to create systems like indigenous land theft and chattel slavery and this violence that we deal with, that again, that I call capitalism. So coming out of jail, we were no longer to just able to keep making it as a poor family on the street. And I just want to say too, and bookmark the fact that as poor houseless families, there's a different kind of terror. We can't be seen, because if we are, we face separation. And for my mama, that was probably one of the most devastating things, to be separated from her daughter, from me. And together, we were able to make it by any means necessary. Separate. Mama used to say, "You see that the sister pushing the shopping cart? That'll be me." So instead, we stayed together and pushed the shopping cart, and went from pillar to post and dealt with sweeps and slept in doorways and bus benches and hoopties when we were lucky enough to have them, until my incarceration. And then after that, we were broken. We were really broken, and Mama tried to figure out how to remantle our underground economic strategy business we were doing on the street. We were surviving on a street economy, and we just couldn't. And so then she started to sit in on classes at San Francisco State with Velia Garcia and Angela Davis and Erica Huggins, and it was literally life-changing. We weren't students, but my mom was ever the seeker of knowledge, and she got to get some of the culture that had been stolen from her. As an orphan, as a mixed race orphan, as a person who dealt with violence, foster homes, she used to call them torture homes. And for the first time in our life, I believe we developed a consciousness. We were just poor folks holding on by a pillar and a post. At that point, we started to connect the dots between poor families and poor people across Mama Earth. And that allowed us to have the ability to think and conceptualize the vision that was Poor Magazine, which we built together as just a movement. It wasn't an organization. We didn't have papers or any of that, but it was a poor people-led movement. And while we were sleeping in those doorways and those bus benches, me and Ma used to dream of a homeless people's solution to homelessness. At that time, in those street homes, we dreamt of homefulness. 29 years later, and Mama transitioned. So, e by yay, Mama. But most definitely working from the other side, Kat, that's for real. We're in homefulness now. And for the first time in my houseless life, I'm homeful because of homefulness, which is in Dipi's, as you know. And so that's where we are now. And one of the things that we poor people say, and we specifically poor mamas say, is we poor mamas built these homes with a poem. Our only currency is our story. And we don't have two nickels to put together, but we tell our stories and we create our her stories and our re stories. And in that process, we have built a curriculum, and that curriculum is taught through what I call poverty scholarship. And part of that poverty scholarship is Theater of the Poor, which has led to the movie that we're putting out now.
We're going to get to that movie in a minute, Tiny. Before we close, I got about 15 minutes left with you, and I want to touch on some other stuff. You've been doing this work a long time. I've known you about 2 decades at this point, and I say a lot about this moment, or I've started to say about this particular moment. I'm talking on the local level, not the federal, the state. I'm talking about right here where we feel the brunt of it. I feel like we've not only gone back to the Libby Schaff days, but it's worse. And there was a time where I don't know that I could have imagined worse than Libby in terms of the absolute unapologetic, brazen, flagrant F the poor, F people of color, F the unhoused. The Libby used to do this thing. I think part of what incensed me, because I can't say I don't care about what your politics are. But you got a right to believe what you want to believe. I believe that. Like, I'll die for you to believe what you want to believe. But don't lie to me about it. Right? Don't look at my face and tell me you care. Right? Then Libby would say, "Oh, I just say I care and depend on it, but I'm sorry." And then turn around, right, and do these things also very visibly, like sell off. It was under her. I know you know all this. It was under her that the unhoused population exploded. In the city of Oakland by tens and tens and tens and tens of percentages. We don't know because the point in time count is Right, exactly. Is that exactly what doing Tiny just did? It's a joke. But now, you and I were not too long ago in this meeting. We've got this new council. And I don't think it's a stretch to say, Tiny, that the majority, save one person, that council is center at best, center right, and right in reality. And so we're seeing things like this homeless abatement policy is what they're calling it, right? Which basically is, we're just going to arrest you and incarcerate you, destroy your belongings, and there's nothing you can do about it. And not only is there nothing you can do about it, but Councilmember Houston, not too long ago, and I'm trying to be careful not to timestamp stuff, but folks go on YouTube because he posted the video, is conducting sweeps that haven't been city approved and daring people to do something about it. I'm gonna just let you respond to all that.
Well, I appreciate you bringing it up. As you know, or I think no, we were in that same council meeting together. I called something else we probably can't put on the Oh, but anyway, so I call him Colonial Ken, as in Ken and Barbie, and I actually even made a sticker for that. But that human is on one and believes that he's the coolest thing ever and has his swagger and literally talks about homelessness as though it's something that he's going to solve. He's going to solve, and this is the way it's going to happen, which is a trip to me. In his sort of oddly Las Vegas show person style, but whatever. You go with whatever your style is, bro, but leave us alone. Don't come for us. And that's what he's doing. And I believe that sadly, the people, if you will, the people who are confused, as I'd say, by our houseless bodies. And why want to cling on to some magical answer instead of recognizing the root causes of homelessness are capitalism. The root causes of homelessness are the lie of rent and the eviction and the fact that they destroyed public housing as we know it, the RAD program, No Hope 6, on and on. They used to have housing, family, and I think everybody on this radio would know this. For the poorest of the poor, me and Ma had that kind of housing. They took that away. They demolished them. And right here in Oakland, even, there is a constant attempt and move to gentrify rooted Black and Brown communities out of existence. Because of something else, I like to mess with the colonial language, but development or developers who make billions with a B in bringing, quote, luxury housing into neighborhoods. Right here on Black Arthur, and shout out to the Black writers and the relatives who called that. That's why we called that. The site of Homefulness 2 was supposed to be zoned for luxury condos. Imagine that. In Deep East Oakland. Now, who is that going to house? So I want people, when they hear these things, to understand this, even this idea of homelessness didn't happen out of nowhere. But the politics are violent now. And yeah, you're right that they're center right or right. And nobody's saying anything. And so the loudest voice is a person who's telling, is selling people some lies. Because best believe, sweeping humans like we're trashed only moves us from one block to the other.
And
No question there.
that's my thing, right? Because I actually, and I've said, I'm holding out. There are some people, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. There's some people in elected office that I believe you are evil to your core, and that's just who you are. I said that about Schaff all the time. I think that woman is diabolical. I don't know that I don't pardon me, and maybe it's just like I don't wanna, I don't know. I'm like, are you just confused, Ken? I do believe that he loves Oakland. I do. I believe that. I believe that in his version of reality, he loves Oakland, and that he wants Oakland to be that, X, Y, and Z. How can you, do you really think that if when you pick up these people and you throw away their stuff and you push them on another, like they're gonna go, like I just, I the lie, I'm having a hard time understanding what you actually think is going to happen. And if you do think that, how do we fix that? And if you know that that's what's gonna happen, then Tiny, how do we engage with that? Because that's a different mentality.
That part. Well, I
Unless
mean,
we're talking about, like, unless you're about to, you're gonna start behaving like Israel, and you just start murdering people. Where are people going to? I mean, it is a slow murder. Let's be clear. Where are people going?
Well, I like to remind listeners and relatives hearing this that houseless relatives right now are your grandma, your auntie, your uncle, your grandpa, right? Your abuelita. They're not just those dirty homeless people. This is black and brown elders who have lived lifelong residents of Oakland. Okay, so let's not pretend it's and his coded word for white people, the Oregon people, whatever that mess is. No, these are black and brown elders that are gravely disabled most of the time, and that's partly why they're on the street. Broken Cloud, 79 years old, one of our residents was on the street for 25 years in Oakland, Afro boy, Afro Indigenous brother. Guess why? Because his auntie and mama's home was foreclosed on, and the entire family ended up on the street. Now, these aren't magical ideas, folks. These are actual facts. A large percentage of people on the street are formerly incarcerated after being profiled and racially and class stratified out of these towns and cities. So when you talk about school to prison pipeline, when you talk about structural racism, it all comes together in homelessness. What I ask people to hear is that houseless and poor people have solutions. Please listen to us. Shout out to my family at Wood Street Commons. Shout out to Homefulness that we're building. 25 youth, adults, and elders permanently housed for the first time in our life in rent-free forever housing. This is not a dream, it is happening. We're working with folks in LA right now to build one there and in Frisco. I want to encourage people to learn about solutions, get involved with solutions. These are black and brown led movements. And they are not led by the Oregon people, air quotes. And they are not talking about somewhere else.
You know where I think he got that organ from, and he and I actually might be in agreement on at least that piece of it. Because that when a group of white folks stole people of color's idea about we need a non-carceral response to mental health crisis, when the white people decided that was going to be their idea, they went and got the white people from Oregon and tried to bring their program here. I think that might be where the Oregon came from. Because I was like, what are you? That's the only
Right.
thing I could think that somewhere in the collective consciousness, that's what he yanked down into his consciousness. I'm running out of time because I always need more time with you.
Sorry, babe. Yes, I know. It's too much, though. And we write. And this is all
And we write, and so this is where we're going.
this is
You
all
have a new
Yeah.
film coming out. It's gonna be at the New Parkway in Oakland, December 6th, the Roxy in San Francisco on November 9th. Talk to us about crushing wheelchairs.
So we say we aren't acting, we're living. We are poor and houseless people. All formerly houseless are houseless caste. The elder I just talked about, Broken Cloud, is one of our main players. Auntie Frances, Black Panther as well, and formerly houseless. All of us have lived through these experiences, and we don't want performance of poverty relatives. We want to create our own hearth stories and our own liberation. This movie honors the ancestors of homelessness. This movie honors Steven Taylor, murdered for a mental health crisis in Walmart.
Right.
It honors Luis Dimitro Góngora Pat, murdered for being brown and indigenous and houseless in Frisco. Luis Tamaj, burned alive for sleeping outside. Shannon Marie Begley, run over by a bulldozer off of AI-80. James Edward Oakley in Vallejo, run over by a bulldozer in December. I can't express enough to you that what's never seen is who we are as people. We are being turned into a thing. We are objectified into trash. This movie is telling our stories of life, how we got there, who we are, and really, at the end of the day, how we move with love and humility about this situation and this violence called homelessness into liberation. It includes prayer, it includes poets like Ayo Dele Nzinga, word slanger, includes tango, Luis Rodriguez, D. Allen, so many poets. It also is a straight up beautiful narrative. And I encourage folks to come see it, but more importantly, to come feel it, to come hear and listen to the stories of people who are never heard, telling our own stories. And it's a beautiful movie, Kat. I'm kind of hard on myself when it comes to art because I got my mama in my ear. Best believe. So mama didn't like no half stepping, okay? But she would say, "This is a not bad Lisa." And she was the only one who could call me Lisa.
I forget sometimes. That's why that's this your one of your names. I'm gonna say it like that way. I'm not gonna say that's your name. That's one of your
Okay,
names.
what are my names?
We'll say that. Donnie, I don't want to skip over this. I have the last couple of times that we've chatted. Well, no, I guess we did. We actually talked about what happened at UCLA. But it's been a minute since I've seen your beautiful face. Can you talk about your need to protect your identity in these violent times?
Well, there's twofold, and so thank you. I often say people might wonder why you can't see my eyes. It's because so many of our relatives on the street, houseless bodies like mine, you would rather die. So I'm here to uninvisibilize houseless bodies like mine. That said, NUZLA, I mean UCLA, I was invited to be activist in residence. And it was a beautiful thing. I got a sixth grade education. I'm a member of the street college. And I was doing beautiful teaching on community reparations and some of the work that we do. And, this horrible colonial war broke out. And I prayed for Palestine because that's what I do. And I pray for Turtle Island and I pray for Sudan and Haiti and the destruction of false border terror. And they came for me. And they said that there were credible death threats, air quotes, that they were coming for me because that was run by an institution that was funded by, Zionists, essentially, and where, just like we're dealing with now, they lie about our intent, our work, our words. And it was extremely a moment of a lot of terror. I mean, I'm a warrior and I'll be there to the end, but I'm not trying to get anybody else involved in my danger. And that's how we roll as community. Thank you for asking that, 'cause it was
It's
kind of a
important.
thing.
Let me talk about it a little.
I was on the cover of the New York Post.
Yeah, I it's important, and we don't talk about it enough. We really don't talk about it when it comes to women. We talk about all these men that were murdered, in these moments of political volatility. We do not talk about what those of us who are women who are on the front line are not only threatened with, but endure, right? And some of us actually don't survive.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.